What's up, cousins? This is Shaquille, and welcome to The Sessions. On this episode, I will be recapping my One Music Festival experience. So, gather your vibes. Go ahead and do all what you need to do. Tune the fuck in, because this was a lot. But first of all, how y'all doing? It's been a minute. Happy fall. Happy harvest. Happy Halloween. Go ahead and set your clock back 1 hour. It's about to get dark at 5. It's cold outside. Listen, I know a lot of people do not like this time of year, but I love this time of year. This is like my time to layer up my clothes, boots, hat, scarf, jacket, hoodie, all the things. Enjoy me a warm bowl of chili. Give me a chicken tortilla soup, you know. And the fact that it gets dark early, I feel like I get more rest. And we all could use that. But also, my favorite part is that, you know, One Music Festival happens around this time of the year. And One Music Festival is probably the largest urban progressive music festival in the Southeast. And it happens here annually in Atlanta. And this year, it did not disappoint. There's usually 3 stages, 2 main stage, 1 smaller stage. You have about 30 plus vendors there, food trucks galore, tons of sponsor activations, and just a lot of fly-ass people that come together for one thing, and that's some music, you know? This was my 3rd time going, and this year I did go with my little sister and my cousin, who I'm very close with, and this was their first time. Like I said, this was my 3rd time going, and I've been by myself and I've been with other people, and this was a very interesting one. Both my sister and my cousin love music respectfully in their own ways, and we all 3 of us do. So it was definitely a joy to be around, you know, people who tune in and catch the vibe and understand, you know, performance and different things. You know, it was definitely a vibe. So some of the main, well, I would say who were headlining this year was Future, Kehlani, Dolce, Jasmine Sullivan, Clips, Ludacris, and Friends. And you also have the Dungeon Family and Friends. They had a tribute to Rico Wade. The Roots featuring Mary J. Blige, Busta Rhymes, Havoc of Mobb Deep, Black Thought. I feel like I'm missing someone. I think that was it. Yes. Everybody else, though, wasn't... It was also a really good lineup, but they wasn't the headliners. Me, personally, I was definitely excited to see Dolce, Jasmine, Future, Kehlani, and Ludacris. Those were the ones that I just knew I was going to see them. So, one thing I can tell y'all we did beforehand was planned. We planned this. I actually was telling everybody about One Music Festival, like that I'm going, this is who headlining, like what's going on. So, you know, it ended up being my sister and my cousin, but we still plan thoroughly for everything. And that's why I kind of want to talk to you about real quick. It's just some things to kind of be aware of when you're at a music festival, planning for a music festival, even while you're there, even before you get there and while you're there. First, check the weather. Always check the weather. Check the damn weather months in advance, all the way up into the damn day. Just check the weather. That's all I can tell you. Check the weather. We seen that it was going to rain, or potential to rain. And we already had our ponchos. That was a given on Sunday. We already seen it. We already had shit together. Also, too, you want to always check what you can and cannot bring. And whatever you can bring, bring that shit. You know, wipes, hand sanitizer. You know, it's going to be dusty out there. So, you know, try to wipe off best as you can. All the good shit that you know that you personally will need. Also, too, you know, you're not, once they release the lineup and the times, you realize that you're not going to be able to see the people you want to see. So you have to kind of like make choices based on like who you really want to see, right? Because sometimes two of your favorite artists can be performing at the same time. That I hate when that happens. That has definitely happened to me when I've attended one music festival. But also, too, you want to decide who you want to see up close, right? Because there are some artists that I don't have to be up close for, but there's someone I really want to be up close. And so, you know, for example, if you want to see performer B, right? But performer A is going at the same stage, it probably would be wise to get as close as possible or just be there for performer A. And once it's over, everyone will disperse. There'll usually be a little time before the next performer, and that's when you move in close as possible to get to performer B. So, you know, you have to sacrifice time, you have to do certain things if you really want to see someone up close. Also, this is probably the most important, that kind of tie everything together as well, especially about timing. And if you're with someone. Now, if you're traveling alone, if you want to get close as possible and you're late or whatever, the best thing to do is kind of travel along the sides and try to squeeze in from there. Because usually, typically, people are really gathered center and out. So a majority of the crowd of the people will be in the center. If you travel, even if there's people on the sides, right? If you travel along the side, it's way much easier than traveling directly through the middle. And mind y'all, if you're trying to get close and the person comes on in 10 minutes, there's people that's already been there and they're serious, that have done this before, like me, that has been standing up in the same, or sitting down, regardless, you know, if you got a yoga mat or a blanket. We've been in position, basically, probably like 45 minutes. So you're not for to come elbow, yo, and y'all, it gets tight the further you go because people are, they're put. So it's like you coming through and talking about, oh, my friend over here, da da da. It's like, no, your friend should have told you to come through the side. Like, bitch, I'm going to stand to the side. I'm going to wait on you. And then once I get you, you know, you come through the side because it's easier to maneuver in. You can get further up and then you can actually just cross over. Y'all can kind of maneuver over from there. If they allow you. Sometimes you just fucked. Now, I ain't going to hold you. So a lot of people kind of, and I know my sister, she don't be playing. So she a little hood and a little, she's sweet and nice. But baby, she from Mississippi. She a little country, she a little hood. So all that little extra shit, she kind of, she be stripping me out about that. But definitely something to remember. So let's get into it. First day, I mean, the weather was very, very nice. 75 degree weather, clear skies, breezy. I'm like, fuck yes. We already prepared. Now, we are, like I said, we are prepared. My little sister had a nice little backpack. She has these tubes that we're sneaking in, you know, the liquor and the other things. And the tubes are placed in like these packages that look like tampons, and they actually have tampons on them. And I was like, girl, is we gonna do this? Like, she had one that was like, we basically had a half a bottle done Julio within tubes. Cool, I'm ready. So we get there. First of all, smooth parking. We parked like literally right in front of the Wet Willies, like a block over from the Wet Willies. If you know Atlanta in that area, it's basically like a block. Boom, the park, the entrance to the park. Like, we were really, really close. Got in. My cousin had to get her wristband at will call. That took like 5-10 minutes. Me and my little sister go ahead and walk because we already had our wristbands. We walked through security to check in. Y'all, I see this man grab this little, because my sister had like seven or eight tubes in one pouch. And I, like, that might have been too many. I think we could have just scattered them out. Or actually, I could have put them in my pocket because I really didn't even go off in the metal detector. And if you go off, they kind of search you. If you don't go off, they don't even search you. Man, that boy picked up that little case, shook it one time, and threw it in the trash. And I was looking like, if he go in that other one and get, if he go in that bag and get the other ones and throw them in the trash, I'm going to politely go take my ass over there and grab it. We going to get out of line, walk to the damn car because it is close, and we for to put this shit in our body or we for to take these shots. Ain't no way. But we kept on pushing through the line. We still had alcohol, so that wasn't a thing. I mean, they sell alcohol there too, but do what you do. So My cousin had researched all of the free shit that we could get. So we did get a shirt made. We went and got some Febreze Untouchables, some Febreze air freshener, some Bevel face wash and like a mask. We didn't care, baby. It was free. And anything free is for me. Mind you, y'all, we got there early. So I'm sorry. We did get there early. So if you're not there early, hell, a lot of that should be gone by the time people get there by 2 o'clock. So we first kind of went to this set where there was a lot of female rappers. But I was really wanting to see Kendah Man. She is amazing. She is like really into, like when I say she's from Houston. So of course you got the shit talking. She has a stage presence that I really, really enjoyed. And I could just tell that she's in her rap. Like she's in it. And there was a moment where she did rap. There was no music. It sounded great. No notes. Like, I really, really liked her and enjoyed her, and I really want to see more of her. Rashida was the one who closed out that set. I did not stay for that set. I went on, so I think, to see Boosie. Kehlani was amazing. She looks phenomenal. She sounds phenomenal. She did all the songs. literally all the songs I want to see her, she performed them. The thing about Kehlani, it was just that, I don't know what it was, like, she kept moving from, like, now I know a performer has to be, it's a festival, you gotta maneuver in the, like left, right, in the front of the crowd, of the stage, right? But she just did not want to get in front of the stage. Like, she kept going, she was either left, right, or back. I was like, why don't she come front center? Like, girl, we trying to see you. Like, I'm confused about that. That threw me off a little bit. After Kehlani, it was the Dungeon Family. Dungeon Family consists of a group that, of like Big Boy, Andre 3000 wasn't there, CeeLo Green, and others. And they put on a phenomenal show. It was very old school hip hop Atlanta, and it did not disappoint. You know, there was a lot of, when you listen to old school hip hop and old music, you really truly understand. And I think as we get older, especially as a millennial, as we get older, the music that we used to listen to is you know, is aging, right? But a lot of today's music come from that. And so just to hear people's performing like old songs, and you kind of take references, or you hear little snippets of beats or things that remind you of today's music, it's like, wow, like, we're really getting old. But they put on a phenomenal job. And then, you know, they did a tribute for Rico Wade. Rico Wade was a prominent person in Atlanta who, you know, founded a lot of artists, such as Future. And speaking of Future, he came on right after that. And y'all, Future brought the fucking heat. Literally. He had a lot of pyrotechs, and it was cold out there, and boof, once he came on, you felt the heat. You was like, okay, love that. but he was, I mean, Future is Future. Like, he gets everybody hype. I mean, he from Atlanta, you know, he right at home. He came out to March Madness, which is like a fucking get this shit started anthem. I really enjoy Future. Like, and honestly, there was no possible way that Future could perform. He couldn't even perform a speck of his hits. And not to mention, like, well-known features. He couldn't even perform a speck of that. Speaking of, the only note I do have for Future is that he didn't bring nobody out. And I'm like, how do you have all these features and you bring nobody out? You know? I do have to take in consideration that some of these features and things, like, people, first of all, he has a lot. And then they don't get paid for that. Like, this is usually, if he's headlining, he can bring someone on if he paid them, or if they just choose to do so, you know, depending on the occasion. So, yeah, that was my only note for Future. He didn't bring anybody out. Now, y'all, that walk after that, let me tell you, after the day one is over, And day two, but still, after it was over, that fucking walk to the car is, baby. My little sister said, damn, I feel like I got new legs. I feel like I have to learn how to walk again. Because you've been standing up. Now, we did lay down on the field with our yoga mats and our blanket at some point. Of course, we took shots. We had all the vibes going. And like I said, there are certain people that you want to be up close for. But there's some people you want to go to the stage. But you don't necessarily have to be up close. You can be back. Or you can be back on the hill on this side of the park and, you know, chill out. A lot of people were just chilling too. So, you know, but majority of it is a lot of standing. And when you walking, man, your feet be hurting. And I know my cousin and my little sister had like the sniffles like after day one. I was like, what the hell? So we had to recuperate and get some rest for day two. Now, day two, total fucking opposite weather. No fucking sun, cold as shit, windy, and it's been raining. Like, it hasn't been pouring down, but it's been like the precipitation is in the air, or it kind of missed rain, or it never poured down, but it's wet outside. So, as I said, we had our ponchos. We were ready. We did get there a little late and missed like the trail ride set. And Carl Thomas, I think my cousin went to see Carl Thomas, and I did too. But it was all good. We went through the line. No one took nothing this time. We met some cool people in line as well. I was talking to these two girls. They've been going to One Music Fest for 7 years. They are some true veterans. You know I had questions. So I was just asking them about different little things and, you know, who they feel like was the best set. They really, honestly, they were like the set where Chloe and Haley came. I remember that. And then they actually said the 2023 set was lit. The one with Meg, Janet Jackson, Timbs, Key Glock. Like, there was a lot of people that, like it was hard to choose who you wanted to see. It was really, really good. And they said that was one of the best ones, but they had been going for 7 years. So it was just interesting. We just connecting and talking to people. So today I can tell you that we definitely had a game plan, because my cousin didn't want to see Dolce. And like I told y'all at the beginning, you got to have a plan of knowing who you want to see up close. I want to see Jasmine. I want to see Dolce up close for sure. So I really didn't too much care about seeing Ludacris up close, but we had a plan. So we definitely sat in on the stage, and Leon Thomas was there. So I would have wanted to see him anyway, but he's really, really talented. Sounds really good. He can play the electric guitar, and y'all, I love that fucking instrument. I think that instrument is sexy as fuck. As a person who love and enjoy music, that instrument does something to me. So I need to learn how to play the saxophone. Before I leave this earth, I need to learn I need to learn how to play the guitar and then the electric guitar. So he was all on the ground with that. Then he went over to the drums, started banging on the drums. I was like, this nigga does it all. He sung all the songs I wanted to hear. He had the whole park barking. He's like, let me hear y'all bark. Arr, arr, arr. I'm a dog, I'm a mutt. But yeah, he was great. So swiftly after he said his goodbyes, plan went into action. So me personally, I had to go use the restroom. I asked my little sister, do you have to use it? I think my little sister had already used the restroom before we got there and when we first got there. So she was good. I told her, you see that man right there? Like right to the side? Because we was already on the side. We need to kind of get over to in the center just a little bit more. I said, I'm going to aim for right there. I said, you aim to get right there as people moving. I'm going to come through the side, and be looking out for me. Cool. It took me like 10 minutes, go to the bathroom, come back. Y'all, there are some, like I told y'all, there are people who know this. So by the time I got, I was shocked to see how many people were still there and like kind of tightening this shit on up. But luckily, y'all, my sister, first of all, from Mississippi. She by 5'3", loud, pretty, hood, approachable, carry the vibes. She had already made friends with all them people around her, and they was like, come on. I said, shout out to you, sis. Man, I walk right on over there. I'm like, okay, hey, y'all, what's going on? Whatever, whoop the whoop. Now, I will say this. By this time, it was already kind of like misting, raining. And it started raining, but it didn't pour down. But I just noticed the consistency of the rain. At this point, I had to go ahead and put on my poncho. And me and my little sister both did. And my cousin. My cousin stuck a damn umbrella in there. So we all had our shit on. So, what, 40 minutes later, Jasmine comes out. And y'all, she is gorgeous. But that goddamn voice, when I tell you that lady can sing, that she sounds better live. And the only other person I know sound better live than studio is Beyonce. Jasmine, and honestly, respectfully, I've always considered Jasmine's kind of like a number two for me when it comes to like my like the voice vocally. Yeah, that shit is like live. Jasmine is a motherfucking beast. So she came out to Feelings. Everybody was singing that shit, was grooving, like all the things. Jasmine did amazing. And I like the fact that she thanked everybody for waiting out in the rain for her. I thought that was very thoughtful and just, you know, just humbling. You know, these people are human. You know, oftentimes you get people to get on stage and they just think you out there for me and they don't acknowledge that. You know what I'm saying? They just go straight to performing or whatever. But one part of her performance that hit hard was that that Sunday marked her mother's death. She had been dead for 3 years. And she, you know, said that the whole performance was kind of like, you know, dedicated to her because she wanted her to keep going. And she watched a video that she had never seen with us. And then she performed Lost Ones. Y'all, that was, as soon as she said that, I told somebody, I said, why did she perform? Why that song is so heartstringing? Like, it tugs at your heart. And as y'all know, I lost my grandfather. It's been just a year now, a little over a year and a few months. But it seemed longer. And, you know, I just put my hands on muscles because I know she was feeling the same. We both cried in the rain. And it was cold. It was just like a whole moment. But shortly after that, the vibes kicked up. She brought out Ari Lennox, Miss Shea Butter herself. And Ari is a goddess. God damn. Like, when I tell you Ari looks so fucking good, I want her to... I need y'all to leave Ari alone. Ari Lennox is gorgeous. She's natural. She don't need to do shit. That lady is a goddess. And they did Sit On It. And they did a unrehearsed performance to Sit On It. And Jasmine let that shit be known. This lady is a beast. Like, we didn't even rehearse this. I had to throw my snaps up for her on that one. So shortly after that, my cousin went over to the other stage to see the clips. Me and Yana, baby, my sister, we went on, got closer to the stage. Now, let me tell y'all. Well, I can tell you the energy shifted because the gays were very, very present. The gays were present. When I tell you, and it seemed like they already knew what to do. Of course, we wouldn't know what to do. What? We know how to get to the center, to the front. So we eased on in a little bit more. We could witness the stage as they setting up for Dolce. I was very excited. Actually, the rain stopped too. It still was very cold. And the DJ had the tunes going. And like, honestly, we were singing and dancing before she came out. And I can tell y'all, it was lit. It was very, very lit. So Dolce comes out. And y'all, so let me just say this. This is my first time seeing Dolce. She's a fucking beast. When I tell you, she is walking art. She's so connected to the stage. She's so connected to what she does. She's so connected to energy. She's so connected to just the way that she raps. Like, she is a fucking... I am really close to getting a staying card after seeing her perform. No shit. Like, she performed actually a part of her tour this on the 27th, this past Monday. And I hate I didn't go. And the tickets were affordable. And she performed at the Battery because they have like a little performing area there. And it's very, very close. It's a very intimate setting too. So I would have loved to seen her, but I was grateful that I seen up close for music. But she is awesome. She performed her set. I had already seen her set for her tour. So her set resembled that a little bit without a lot of the theatrics and she was kind of more so covered because it was cold. She had on a whole, she had like this baggy look going on with a Letterman jacket type shit. It was cute. It was cute. Of course, she threw that ass. Of course, she did some of my favorites. Nissan Altima. She did Denial. She did she did Spooky Coochie. D-O-E. Repping for the B-A-P. Coming for the T-O-P. Hey, that's my shit. But so yeah, it was it. Like I said, it resembled her tour. I was just thoroughly satisfied watching Doechii, and I mean, again, the way that she raps and connects to the like her affliction, like she sounds, she raps exactly how she sounds in studio, live. Like, and that to me is impressive. So Doechii was a big yes for me. Like 10 out of 10 for Doechii for me. Like, seriously. So, shortly after that, the last performance was Luda and Friends. So, me and my sister kind of walked literally to the other side of the park. And we did find my cousin. So, you know, like I said earlier, we went on the sides. My cousin was already over there. She had kind of already had a spot close. We was able to mosey on to the side because we knew where we were going. And we kind of crossed over once we got up, furthest up we that she was, and kind of walked on and found her. And we were close as fuck. Like, I'm like, okay, cool. But y'all was not prepared for Ludacris. Ludacris, first of all, is top 5 lyricists, argumentatively, of all time. You can look that up. That's not joking about that. That's, you can kind of look up some facts about Ludacris being a top lyricist. Ludacris has always, to me, been so humble, so unproblematic, so successful. And one thing I would say, but without, before going into the details of his set that ended the whole festival, was that he was very happy. To, like, he was happy in general, but he was very happy to show his art, show what he has done. It was a celebration of Disturbing the Peace, his record label for 25 years of Disturbing the Peace. And so he was very proud of that. And as Luda begins to kind of go through this timeline, it kind of made, and I wouldn't say the time, yeah, he did kind of go through a timeline. Of kind of like how he got started. But he was throwing out different songs, basically kind of like different stats too. Like this song won, sold this amount of records, or when this first came out, this, da, da, da. So it wasn't like a chronological timeline, just like start to, from beginning to end. But it was more of like his peaks, you know? And so he kind of took it back and he was like, some of my day ones would know this. And I'm like, day ones? I'm like, damn, do I know this? Because, you know, I'm thinking about how old I was when I was listening to Ludacris, like first started listening to Ludacris. And I'm like, I don't know, maybe something predate that for me. Maybe I don't know the song. Y'all, all I heard was Cadillac grills, Cadillac pills, got the check on my Cadillac. I'm like, throw them both, drop both. I'm like, what the fuck? Am I this old? Like, literally, am I this old? I cannot believe I know every word to that song. And he threw that out there for his day ones. Seriously? Like, oh my God. Like, I y'all, listen. If there was anything about this music festival taught me, with all the, even some of the other performers that I did not mention that we still sing, Pleasure P, Bobby Valentino, Project Pat, Boosie, you know, it's you realize how old you are when they say they for the give a old one. And for Ludacris to throw that out there, I was like, what the fuck? I'm really old. But Ludacris had a time on stage. I like the fact that he was kind of giving himself his flowers because he definitely deserved them. Now, he started bringing out people. And this is when shit got real. Okay? First, it was Chingy for Holiday Inn. And we were like, whoa, Chingy, like, what the fuck? Okay, cool, motherfucking Chingy. And one thing I can say about him that I can say about the rest of the people that we've seen that are pretty, I would say, like, older artists, they still know they shit, and they still got breath control, baby. Because that Holiday Inn verse is long, and Chingy did that. Chingy rapped the fuck out that. Rapped it. So, he was cool. And Ludacris not only brought him out, but he also highlighted the kind of like their hits or some of like his favorite songs from that from him. And he wanted him to give us the record that changed the culture. Everybody started looking around before he started playing, like, I know he ain't. Oh, Trap Star. Ooh. Ooh, what you gonna do? I like the way you do that. Right when I look, when I tell you, I turned around. When I tell you, I seen so many damn necks and motherfucking fists pumping. I see heat, baby. When I tell you, I was crying, laughing, like, oh my god, like, go off. I love us. When I tell you, I love us. I love us so bad, man. I love us so bad. We was hitting that shit. Boy, that shit was so fun. And it was so funny, but it was so, like, this our shit at the same time. It was just such a celebration. Like, what the hell? So, Luda started this shit with every artist, by the way, that he brought out. They come out, sing song that they had together, whatever. Then, he want to hear some shit. I'm like, what the fuck? I know. Wait a minute, what's going on? What's happening? So, next, he brings out Jadakiss. I was like, whoa, wait a minute. Huh? They perform their song Made You Look, which was definitely popular. Oh, shit. If you ain't, you probably don't know nothing about that if y'all weren't really listening to rap music back in the day. But that was, I think that shit was like back in two. Wait, was that Made You Look? No, that wasn't Made You Look. That was. No, yeah, they did perform Made You Look. I think that's the remix version of that. That's what it is, because that's Nas, Jadakiss, and Ludacris. Yes. That's old. That's like 2002 type shit. And then he did one of his songs. I can't remember. Whatever his little laugh is, Jadakiss does, but that was cool. Then he brings out Jeezy. Man, when I tell you, I almost hit the fucking floor, and so is all everybody in the fucking park. Jeezy, bro. Trap, ATL Trap Legend, Jeezy. Oh, bro. That shit was so lit. Like, so lit. Jeezy. Yeah. So, he do all there, and I put on, everybody know all the words. Like, it was such a fucking vibe. Like, it was lit as fuck. And so, you know, after Jeezy, he goes and perform, and you know, it just keeps elevating more and more. It's like at this point, like, what the hell? So, y'all, I'm just gonna say it. He brought out Fergie. The fuck? I was like, ain't no fucking way he bringing out Fergie. Like, bro, bitch, ain't no way he bringing out Fergie. Y'all, let me tell y'all, Fergie was fucked up in a good way. Like I said before, you know, sometimes these festivals, if you're not part of the headliner, you can ask people to come out. They may or may not come. You know what I'm saying? And at first, he sat down for a minute, and it was like she wasn't going to come. And then it was like an odd 30 seconds or so, because he was sitting down. He was kind of looking. And then she came on out, and then he had to help her down the fucking stairs, because I was like, Fergie fucked up. But she ate, y'all. And of course, they did Glamorous. Luda did his verse. And everybody at the end, when I tell you a loud as fuck, if you ain't got no money, take your broke ass home. It was it. After that, she did London Bridge. And I, me and this girl beside me, I have a video. When I tell you this girl, me and this girl was like, oh shit. Like, but when I tell you, we was going back and forth with the words. Like, it was such a vibe. It was such a vibe. And to see Fergie, like, that was so random, but was like mouth dropping almost. Like, what the fuck? I failed to mention at the beginning, he did bring out Jermaine Dupri for Welcome to Atlanta. That's how he started off the set. So, sorry I didn't slide that in there. But, you know, it was so much happening on the stage at the time. It was overwhelming. I ain't even gonna lie. But just when you think it couldn't get any better, it does. He goes into Lovers and Friends, and yes, out walks fucking Usher. Usher, baby. Y'all, when I tell you, every fucking body screamed. Like, literally scream at the top of their lungs. Scream! Lil Jon wasn't there, but we did his verse in his absence. And it was such a vibe. Lit as fuck. And of course, Usher did. Yeah! Baby, when I say we was up in the A-Town stomping, rocking away, and all the things. Doing the shuffle, all the shit. Like, it was lit. It was so fucking lit. Not to mention, during this time too, and even from the beginning of this performance, Ludacris has drones on side of the stage, in the air. They can be seen for miles. The drones are him with an afro, with a pick. Words like, I love ATL, Peach, a man walking, a woman twerking, actual buildings representing the city of Atlanta. Like, it is a lot going on. And when I tell you, it was a fucking party. It was a vibe. Like, bro, it was a vibe. Ludacris had been giving us so much, right? And apparently, someone on his team, a part of the One Music crew, whatever, they had a surprise for him. And it was LL Cool J. Apparently, LL Cool J, yes, fucking LL Cool J. Apparently, Luda's looked up to LL Cool J. I did not know this. That's who inspired him to rap. And there's a viral video that's old of Ludacris as a kid and just like some shorts rapping LL Cool J. So they rapped the song together. It was such a moment. And it was such a nice, heartfelt moment. And I felt proud. Like, I felt proud to just kind of just be of the era to witness something like that. That Ludacris is a legend. And then you have a legend on top of a legend, LL Cool J. Out here still rapping, still on stage, still licking them goddamn lips. Ludacris also, and then LL did a song as well. And then he exited. And Ludacris also brought Shauna, gave her things. I was getting some heat, getting some heat. And of course, and he gave Shauna a lot of credit to who she was. She's not some big artist, but he really highlighted her skill and her artistry and put some respect on her. And I love that about him. I love that about Ludacris. It don't matter, big artist. You got big artists out there, small artists. It don't matter. Y'all all played a part in this. And of course, after she did get some hit, they did the song that everybody know that she on. I wanna lick you from your head to your toe. And I wanna move from the beat down to the flow. And I wanna you make it so good, I don't wanna leave. And I gotta look, know what your fancy to say. Baby, when I tell you, everybody was in that bitch. Back seat, window up. Listen. I'm showing my age right now, but y'all get it. It was lit, bro. Shortly after that, and of course, in between times, like, Ludacris is playing all of his hits, some of his biggest features. My Chick Bad, like, girl, at one point, everybody was like, huh? Where she at? Is she coming at? She coming at? I don't think she coming at. he also did this really, like, rock choir. But like, there was a choir, but it was like this rock version to O. So the choir was singing Sierra part, the chorus part, and it was like, I don't know, it was hype as fuck. And honestly, I thought Ciara's about to come out too. And I was like, babe, I'm about to go into a goddamn back bend if Ciara come out here. Like, I know you lying. Ciara would have bought her ass out there. It would have been a wrap. But no, y'all. Surely the set ended. He ended it with, I would say, if you're an ATL driver, probably the anthem that most ATL drivers feel. And that was, move, bitch. Get out the way. Get out the way, bitch. Get out the way. So it was lit, y'all. And it was so much going on with Luda. And first of all, I think what really shocked me, and this is another one to add to the know-hows of the festival. If you see And Friends on anybody's that is headlining, expect some damn guests. That slipped my mind, and I was overwhelmed. I was, in a good way, I was so overly stimulated by Ludacris' performance. I just think, because he kept me on my toes about, you think about it, Ludacris had so many fucking features and hits. He could have bought out Ciara. He could have bought out Nicki Minaj. He could have bought out, shit, anybody. Missy Elliott would have whopped her ass out there. I would have, when I walk up in the pee, I ain't got to eat split. I'm a jam, got a jam, goddamn it, motherfucker. Babe, I would have, Gitchy. Baby, I would have acted a fool, bro. I'm serious. Like, y'all do not understand. It was such a good time. So, in conclusion, to wrap this on up, you know, I give this a 9.5 out of 10 of experience of all my One Music Festival experiences. I endured the... First of all, I had my cousin and my sister with me. I wish I would have had friends with me. And hopefully after listening to this, y'all could next time come with and enjoy. But that's okay. Everybody got things going on. But it was very, very... like a 10 out of 10 experience to have enjoyed this with people I love. But a 9.5 experience for this overall. I will say just some quick things. A few mishaps. There were a lot of audio issues going on throughout the festival. Plies and Chief Keef did not come. And crowd cheering, you know, like... the crowd was engaged in cheering, but I felt like there could have been a lot more. Because I think at one point of Leon Thomas, Wale was kind of... Anytime you don't ever want to hear the... You don't never want to have, like, artists throw their hand up and getting y'all to hype y'all up. And it's not because it's them on stage. It's because of y'all. Like, we're at a festival, for Christ's sakes. We snuck all type of shit in the festival. We honestly, I've been drunk. I was drunk all them 2 days. And I was drunk in the damn sun. And I was drunk in the damn rain. Like, I had a blast. And so... you know, people come out there and perform. It's like when you cheer, that elevates the performance for the artists, right? Because they're still human. They still have nerves and stuff. But it was like a lot of, you know, semi-quiet performances. Not on the headliners, but some of the other people. And I'm like, you know, that's not a good look. So I don't know what that was about, but I wish there could have been more crowd cheering. So other than that, it did not affect my experience. You know, throughout the rain, I remained dry. I remained warm. Parking was a breeze. You know, everybody was safe. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. So, in conclusion, you know, I would say my biggest highlights as far as, like, performance, I got to give it to Ludacris, Dolce, Jasmine, and Future. Like, those performances alone for me for the festival was, like, literally 10 out of 10. They did an amazing job. Everyone showed up. They performed majority of their hits. And they performed the things that people wanted to hear. And it was so much love. It was so... like, we needed that moment. Like, honestly, I think me and my cousin and my sister afterwards, like, we needed this let off. Like, I feel like I got enough social, like, activity to hype me up, but also depleted at the same time, which I felt like was a very good analogy. Like, I was charged up, but I was also depleted. Like, I was good. After that, y'all had to sleep. I had to recuperate. I had to drink a lot of fucking, take some medicine so I wouldn't get sick. All the things, we out in the air, all that. But at the end of the day, if you ever think about going to one music festival, please do it. Regardless if, you know, if there's like four people on that you would want to see, I'll say do it. Go, get the tickets early if you can. Plan, always research about what you can and cannot bring, and try to go with someone. And I've been by myself too and had a blast, but it's all, and met people there too. So if you want to go by yourself, if that's your vibe, go. But I would strongly encourage going with a close friend, close family member, that is on the same vibes, that understand it's a festival and these are the things you have to do. Like, it was 9.5 out of 10 experience. So please drop your comments. If you went to the festival, if you seen, have any questions about it, hit me up. I also have kind of like my highlights on my memories on my IG page. That's Shaquille_Rashawn. You can click up the memories on my page. You can also see my experience or some of the videos and things that were captured from the previous one music festival and this one. So hope you enjoyed this recap. Happy Halloween once again. Stay safe.